You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be with you today, bringing this message of hope and this message of encouragement. You know, if you're joining the service for the first time today, I just want to encourage you. I want to welcome you. I'm so glad that you've come to church online, that you're attending our service online. You know, maybe you're here because you're seeking to know more about God. I just want to encourage you, there's space for you to seek to know more about God. There's no push. There's no, come on, hurry up and get it. Just take your time. Seek God. Learn to know Him. Learn to know the relationship that God wants to have with you. I want to encourage you that there is always a space for you at Gateway to seek more and know more about God and what it means to find hope in Jesus. Well, this morning, I just want a bit of a shout out this morning to Angel Diaz. God bless you. We miss you. It was such an encouragement to me to hear that you're listening online and watching online. This morning, just before I start speaking, I just really want to encourage you. There's some people in our church right now who truly need a miracle, a significant miracle. We've got people in hospital right now, people who have had reports from doctors, and I just want to encourage you right now. We're going to join together in prayer. Wherever you are, in your lounge room, you could be watching from your hospital bed this morning. We're joining together, believing for healing to come right now. Why don't we join together in prayer? God, I thank you that you're a healing God. Thank you that you sent Jesus. Thank you that Jesus sent Holy Spirit. And right now we come together in faith. We're believing for every cell that isn't performing as it should be. Holy Spirit, the healer. Right now, we pray that those cells fall into line with how they're meant to be working in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, for everything that those cells then go on to affect, God, I pray that they fall into line with the perfect health that our bodies were created by you to be, Father God. In your powerful name we pray this morning. Amen. I want to encourage you, claim the healing that God has for you today. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Jesus, you alone. What a beautiful song. I don't know about you, but when I heard that song for the first time, presence of God just overwhelmed me. The reminder that it's Jesus alone. You know, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking into Jesus, you alone. And the beauty of these words come from the scriptures. So for this week and next week, we're going to share around Jesus, you alone. For many of you, the things that I'm going to teach about will be things that you've heard before. Why am I bringing this up? I implore you, when you have this thought going through your head, I've heard this before. It's at this very moment, at this very, very moment, when you thought, I've heard this before, this is your moment to listen. This is your moment to learn. This is your moment to, with more intent than you've ever had before, to go, when you hear that voice, I've heard this before, this is your moment. This is for you to go to the next stage of understanding. You may have heard the teaching once, but it doesn't mean that it's everything that God wants to reveal into your heart and your spirit in your discipleship journey. What's the disciple? A follower of Jesus. Followers go from one place to the next. They don't follow Jesus and stop. They keep learning. They keep receiving revelation as a disciple of Jesus. One of the things as human beings that can really trip us up is that when we hear something that we've heard before, we have a tendency to switch off. It's like, oh yeah, I know I heard this. I'll just save my brain power for a little bit later because I've heard this before. When something seems familiar, when something seems old hat, and so I put this statement out there for every single one of us because it's a humanity thing, not a one-person thing. We learn more when we refuse to be complacent about what we think we know. Can I say it one more time? We learn more when we refuse to be complacent about what we think we know. And so I don't want to just know about it. I want to know him and the riches of his word. I hope that resonates deep within you today. I'm going to put it out there from the very beginning of today's message that the very thing that underpins our entire foundation of Christianity, the entire foundation of the church, salvation, our beliefs and faith is Jesus. That's it. We can't make it into anything else. We can't pursue anything else. The very one thing that underpins who we are as followers of Jesus is Jesus alone. Nothing else has any space within that. We can't add a little bit of this to make it feel nicer. We can't add a little bit of that to make it seem like, oh yeah, that's a bit more palatable. It's Jesus alone and nothing else. The reason we are known by God is Jesus. The reason that we know that we're loved by God is Jesus. The reason that we come together to worship is Jesus. At the moment, we're coming together online, and I just want to encourage you. We don't have a lot more time of having to meet like this. I would say somewhere within the next 4 to 6 weeks, there'll be a different iteration of how we're meeting together. It may not be one service. It could be a couple of services. Don't fall over at this hurdle. There's not much further to go. Hang in there. There's not much further to go. Remember the reason we meet together like this? Jesus. It's Jesus alone that's made it possible for us to be forgiven of sin and be known as sons and daughters of God. Jesus alone. The focus of our faith is Jesus. The focus of why we're here is Jesus. Let's not lose focus. Let's not become distracted. Our message is Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. You know, in Psalm 24, verses 9 and 10, we in this beautiful passage of Scripture, we read this. It says this, So wake up, you living gateways, and rejoice. Fling wide, you ageless doors of destiny. Here he comes, the King of glory is ready to come in. Verse 10, you ask, who is this King of glory? He is the Lord of victory, armed and ready for battle, the mighty one, the invincible commander of heaven's host. Yes, he is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. So we catch this stunning glimpse, this beautiful glimpse of God calling all mankind to awaken to the King of glory. I don't know about you, but I, as a parent, I love it when I ask a question and someone returns an answer. As a parent, I have a new appreciation for my parents. Amen. Just let you sit with that for a while. Just hope my parents aren't watching. Yes, it's an apology, sort of. This would have to be one of the greatest tests and trials of being a parent. Can I get an amen this morning? There's an amen coming from our team this morning. You're not even parents. What are you talking about? Just giving an amen because I asked for one. But this passage of Scripture, the psalmist, we see this question being raised. Who is the King of glory? And the response is, question answer, the response is, he is the Lord of victory. He is the King of glory. It shows us that Jesus is the King of glory, spoken about before he even came to planet Earth and went to the cross and died and was buried and rose again on the third day. Even before all of that, recognizing that he is the King of glory. Jesus is the King of glory. If you're wondering when you sing that song, Jesus, You Alone, and so who is the King of glory? The response is, Jesus is the King of glory. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, we don't just have a confirmation of who the King of Glory is. We get a confirmation of how mighty and how powerful and how invincible that he is, Jesus is. It says this in Hebrews 1 verse 3. This is out of the NLT. It says this. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. I don't know about you. It's not just an answer who the King of Glory is. It's specific. He radiates the very presence, the very glory of God. He is the King of Glory because he radiates the presence and glory of God the Father. He expresses the very character of God. He sustains everything. And so I want to encourage you. He has the mighty power to save and forgive everyone of their wrongdoings. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is in a place of power and authority, and he loves each and every single one of us. It's Jesus alone that makes a way for the cleansing of sins. No one but Jesus. The reason that we hold fast to Jesus alone, the reason that we stay true to his teachings, the teachings of Jesus, is because salvation and freedom and restoration are only found in Jesus. God sent his Son Jesus so that we could taste and receive every single one of those things. It's in Jesus alone. You can try and find meaning. You can try and find security in different things. You can self-help. Finding gratification and fulfillment in people, in material things. Perhaps even being dependent on others for your emotional needs, or perhaps even trying to find stability in codependent relationships and friendships. But the true love that I'm talking about this morning, the very thing that each and every single one of us are seeking and searching for from the beginning of our time, is only found in Jesus. The true love that I've found, it's none of those other things that I was speaking about that fix the spiritual hole. It's a longing to be filled in our hearts. You might even try and fill that hole in your spirit by becoming highly spiritual, as in over the top spiritual. See, a highly spiritual person who goes to church or pursues other spiritual means but isn't focusing on Jesus alone, they're just pursuing another thing, just like the other things that I was speaking about. No, that's not God's best for any of us. We find our hope, we find our security, find our salvation, find our restoration in Jesus alone, in Jesus alone. See, although you may feel better about yourself when you pursue the other things, it brings some kind of maybe self-peace. That longing continues. Maybe you've pursued other things, maybe even other spiritual things, friendships, dependence, coping, whatever it is. I want to encourage you. The only place that longing can be fulfilled is through and in Jesus. The very thing we're searching for can only ever be found in Jesus alone. In Acts 4:12, we catch Peter. There's a miracle that's happened, and we catch him sharing about there's a whole bunch of people, religious people, who have come to him and they're like questioning him about how did you do this? Who did it? In what name did you do it? Just firing the questions. And Peter all of a sudden just becomes overpowered and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And he responds to them with this. They're talking about the miracle and this and that, but he brings it back to the one thing. The one thing. Peter's response to those who were questioning him was,
Salvation is in no one else. And it says this in Acts 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. They're questioning about who the miracle, and he's like, the miracle was performed in the name of Jesus. Sidebar, the only way to be saved is in Jesus alone. Focusing on this, focusing on what's happened, it's only happened because of. We can focus on all the good things that happen in our life as followers of Jesus. The only reason that the blessings and favor of God comes is because of Jesus alone. No other reason. And so this morning, I put this out there strongly as a church, as Gateway Church, a local church. Our message is Jesus alone. No other message. Let's not be confused. Let's not be distracted. Jesus alone is our message. There's no self-help. There's no course that we could put on that's going to fulfill the longing inside all of humanity. It is Jesus alone. Our message is Jesus alone. He is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power that can save and perform miracles. Amen. Anything that happens with healings, miracles, testimonies, it's all because of Jesus alone. There is no other name. It's Jesus alone that's moved through one of us and revealed his power and glory to perform miracles, healings, testimonies, restoration of salvation. Amen. Hebrews 10 verse 10 explains it perfectly. God always wanted us to be made holy. Isn't that encouraging for each and every single one of us? Hebrews 10 verse 10 says this, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time." So why are you focusing so deeply on this today? I want to encourage you that there is no other message that we want to broadcast except Jesus alone. There's no other message that we want to broadcast to our city and to those of you who are watching this right now. Jesus alone is our message. And it was God's will, God's desire for you, God's desire for me was to be made holy through Jesus. Once and for all, he dealt with the sin of all mankind, every human on planet Earth that is here now and is to come. Jesus is taking care of our sin. The sin factor, the wrongdoings, the thoughts, the things that we do. He's taking care of it through Jesus. All we have to do is respond to Jesus' love towards us. I'll actually take you through that at the end of this message of how to respond to the love of Jesus. It was always his plan. Because of this perfect will of God, he rights the wrongs, not just our personal sin, but the sin of all mankind. I want to talk to you for a moment about the grip of grace. You may have heard about the grip of sin before, but I want to talk to you about the grip of grace. In Romans 5, verse 17, it says this, "Death once held its grip. And by the blunder of one man," talking about Adam at the beginning of time, "death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah." The grip of grace. That sin that once had a grip on us because of Adam has been released through Jesus. Only Jesus. He's the only one. In the one and only Jesus, it says in verse 17 of Romans 5. See, even more so for you and I today, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, we're released from the grip of sin. That grip of sin that once held us so tightly and bound us so tightly. I want to encourage you. We now find ourselves gripped by grace instead. Can I say that again? When you follow Jesus, you find yourself gripped by grace instead of sin. That encourages me. I hope it encourages you where you are today. Gripped by favor, gripped by salvation. This grace and this salvation from Jesus positions us as kings in life because we become like him. Our Christ-like identity calls us to be kings in him. The scripture says it clearly. It's called us to continue to reign as kings in life. We're not under the grip of sin anymore. We're under the grip of grace. And God puts us in the position to reign as kings in life. You getting excited today? You guys getting excited? I'm struggling to hold myself together because I feel like I'm about to unleash it. Like. Gripped by salvation, gripped by grace. Why? Why this gift of righteousness? He distributes this gift of righteousness through his grace. But he distributes us for compassion and mercy to be active in our lives. The same compassion and mercy that he's given to us through the gift of grace. He wants us to be fluent in that language as well. Not just in words, but in actions. Who is this gift of righteousness? It's Jesus alone, the one and only. I want to encourage you and remind each and every single one of us today that this grip of grace, it pours grace and favor and mercy and compassion over and in you. But it's for a reason, not just so that you can revel in this new kingly life that he's called you to be in, but for the following in Ephesians 2 verse 7 and 8. This is why he pours it into our lives. Ephesians 2 verse 7 and 8. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us into Christ. Let's be really, really clear about this. God loves us. His favor towards us is undeniable. He sent his son Jesus to reveal salvation so that we could come back into relationship with him. But now, what now? He wants to put you in a shop front window so that you can be the visible display of his grace and his compassion and his mercy and his kindness. God wants to put you on visible display. The infinite, the visible, infinite, limitless riches of his grace and his kindness that was showered upon you needs to be displayed and distributed to the people in your world. I want to encourage you today. You may be feeling, you hear that and you're like, I don't feel like that I've been showered in grace and kindness. You know, your feelings may be real. You may be struggling to compute that truth because of things that have happened. Maybe there's some things that have happened in your life. Perhaps it could be life's experiences, life's challenges. And because of all those things, it's almost caused you to put up an umbrella. So I just can't deal with any more things happening to me. I'm just going to put up this umbrella. And so when life tries to shower things upon me, I'm just going to reject those things. It's a hard shell that's going to be over me. And so they'll just pour off around me. I'll just act really, I've got this, umbrella's up. Throw everything you've got at me, life, because I'm not taking it anymore. And so this umbrella is, you've put it up to protect you because of those other things. Maybe it was words. Maybe it was emotions. Maybe it was anger directed towards you, violence, isolation, pain, sickness. Insert the names of whatever it is that you've put up the umbrella to protect yourself from. But my encouragement for you today is this. With Jesus, it's time to take the umbrella down. It's time to take down that shield of protection and allow him to shower you with grace and kindness and love. See, if you've only just tasted of his salvation, that's just the beginning of everything he wants to shower you with. Salvation is a beautiful start because no longer are we separated from God. We're brought together in relationship with God. But there's so much more. Allow him to obliterate the umbrella. It's time to allow all the gifts of kindness and righteousness and holiness and grace and mercy and compassion to shower upon your life. Those things will help you work through the other things that were originally caused you to put it up. And so I say this to each and every single one of us today, that your challenges are real. Your challenges are real. Maybe you haven't had anyone verbalize that to you before. Your challenges are real. Let's not deny it. There are things that happen in our daily lives that are real life challenges. And I want to encourage you today. Can you own that? Can you think about what those challenges are and say, those things did happen? Maybe you've pushed it away so long that it's just a distant memory. And it's like I kind of remember. No, it's time to say, yeah, those things are real. Those things did happen. Your truth is true is perhaps another way to say it for you today. And the encouragement today is that God's gracious gift wants to immerse you in grace and mercy to begin to heal you. You can push it out there, but it's always going to nag. And when you're lowest to your low, it somehow comes around in front of you. Grace to heal you from the storms that have taken their toll, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, perhaps even socially, intellectually. It's just been such a bombarding that you feel it's just ripping every part of your life away. God wants to immerse you and bring healing to every part of you. As I begin to finish today, be reminded, your freedom, your power, your grace, your miracles, your salvation, your testimony, your joy, your hope, your peace, your gifts, it's because of Jesus alone. That is part of the grace and favor that God, every single one of those things, and things that I haven't mentioned, you might start listing off things that God has brought into your world. I don't want to encourage you today. Take note. Praise him and thank him. Thank the King of Glory for revealing God's perfect will for your life through salvation. And so this is your cue and reminder to approach life like you've been given salvation in Jesus alone. I'm going to say it one more time. This is your cue and reminder to approach life like you've been given salvation by Jesus alone. It's a stunning reminder of his sacrifice and the fact that he wants us to be a visual display of his riches and his grace. I think so often when we go through life, there's things that happen in our daily life, things that happen in family and work and perhaps even things that happen within the church, and we get sometimes just distracted or a little bit confused, or maybe even we get hurt by things that happen in those spaces. I want to encourage you today that God has called you to be a visual display of the grace of Jesus, of the compassion of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus. How do we do that? We need to keep Jesus front and center. Everything we do, everything we say, the thoughts we have, the words we use, it needs to be a Christ-like, a Christ identity that we step into. And it's like, I'm not going to say, this wasn't part of my message, but I really felt for each and every single one of us in the things that we feel comfortable to say that we shouldn't say, the things that we do that we shouldn't feel comfortable to do. Can I encourage you? Stop focusing on how to stop doing those things and begin to focus on Jesus. Focusing on trying to stop doing those things, that's using our own strength and our own self-sufficiency. It's in Jesus alone, as we look to Him, the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of our faith, as the Word says. It's when we look to Him that the Holy Spirit is poured upon you. What happened with Peter when he brought everyone's attention to Jesus? Even before he did it, the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him the power to deliver the very thing that the entire city and the religious people needed to hear. It's in Jesus alone. See, maybe you've been distracted by noise, the noise of life, noise of family, noise of your workplace, particularly with everything that's been going on. But I want to encourage you, even those distractions are real, that you have been given a mission of reconciling people to Jesus, reconciling people to their Creator, so that they can see their salvation, so that they can see their healing, so that they can see their restoration. It's God's will for it to be theirs. And for each and every single one of us, as we look to Jesus alone, let's truly believe that we're becoming this visual display of God's grace and God's kindness. And as we do that, those things that we used to feel comfortable to do, those things that we used to feel comfortable to say, we won't even be worrying about those things anymore because we're focusing on God's glory, Jesus. And we become more and more like Him every day. And the visual display and when we say things and people see us and then people hear the things that we say and all of a sudden they're like, there's something real going on here. This isn't lip service. They are on visual display. Everything they do and everything they say lines up with Jesus. I need to hear about this. I need to know about this. So the question for you today to take away, the question for each and every single one of us, whether you've been a Christian for 9 minutes or 99 years, most people would probably fit inside that, I reckon. Where has God called you to be a visual display of God's grace? I'll say it again. Where has God called you to be a visual display of God's grace? In your family? In your work? In your church? In your community? With your neighbors? With those people that you've had a falling out with? With those people that don't look the same as you? There's people who don't sound the same as you. There's people who don't have it all together. Let's be truly honest. Do any of us really have it all together? It's in Christ alone and the grace that He shows us that we go from strength to strength. There's nothing that we could do, as the Scripture said it this morning. So you may be watching today and you don't know Jesus personally. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, says this: there is only one God, and there is only one way that people can reach God. That way is through Christ Jesus, who as a man gave himself to pay for everyone to be free. This is the message that was given to us just at the right time. So today, I truly believe that this is the message that is given to you just at the right time. There's only one way to know God. There's only one God, and there's only one way to know Him, through Jesus alone, the one and only Jesus. That Jesus gave Himself on a cross so that you and I could be free of our sin and no longer be separated from God. This is your message, and this is your day of freedom. How do you start this relationship with God? How do you find hope in Jesus alone? Romans 10, verse 9 says it like this. if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you'll be saved. So for each and every single one of us today, if you don't know him personally, if you knew about him, but you don't know him personally, this is your moment today. I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment. I want to encourage you that if you want to know Jesus personally, if you want to know God personally, have a personal relationship with him, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer. When we pray this prayer, we're going to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we're going to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. If that's you, can you pray this prayer with me? This is a personal prayer. You're not just regurgitating a prayer. This is a personal prayer that you're praying directly to God today. Church, wherever you are today, why don't you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you that you are the only God and that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross, be buried, and rise again on the third day. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him. I surrender my life to you alone. I choose to follow you. Forgive me of my sin. From today, it's only you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, today I love the fact that we have this opportunity to share about our hope in Jesus, to share about the hope that I'm believing that people have received for the first time today or have been reignited to the hope and love of Jesus. As you head into this week, can I encourage you? If you could do one thing, where has God placed me to visibly display his grace to people? Let that be the guiding light of your week. Everywhere you find yourself, I've been placed here right now to be a visible show of God's grace. And as you put Jesus in front of you, your words begin to follow your actions of where you've been placed to be as well. Amen.